Hey, this is Vinny Appice, and you're listening to Sonic Perspectives. Crank it up. Vinny Appice!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another interview of Sonic Perspectives. I'm Rodrigo, and if you're a fan of 80s metal like me, this interview is right up your alley. With me today is Vinny Appice, the drummer of many Black Sabbath albums and Dio's most successful period. Vinny, thank you so much for joining us.
Good, good, good. You said my name wrong.
Carmine, did I?
My brother Carmine says Appice. It's confusing. I say Appice.
Oh, okay. Well, I interviewed him a few months ago, and he said it like that, so I apologize.
Yeah, he said Appice, but he used to say Appice, and then when he played with Rod Stewart, it got changed to Appice.
Oh, okay. Okay,
good. So ever since then, that was 1976, it's been this thing going on. But it's cool. Keeps people talking.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, we are here first and foremost to discuss the reissue of Holy Diver, arguably Dio's finest hour on what would be his 80th birthday, right?
Yeah, coming up on the 10th.
Yeah.
Would have been 80.
A lot of cool stuff in this release, a lot of bonus tracks and demo stuff, right?
I haven't heard it yet, but I hear there's a lot of stuff in there, outtakes.
And yeah.
I did hear there's an ending on Holy Diver. There on the original album. We faded out.
Yeah.
There's no ending.
Yeah.
But when we recorded it, we played. And then when we had enough for fade out, we ended it with this crazy 2001 ending. Bom, 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 bom.
Yeah.
We usually did crazy endings when we were clear at the end, you know?
Right. So, yeah. I honestly, I haven't listened to the demos yet. I didn't get access to it. But I'm curious to find out what's in there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting for they sent me a record and CD and stuff, but I think tomorrow. That's great.
Okay. And I'm curious about the live recording in Fresno. Again, I haven't listened to it, but during that era of Dio, you guys sounded like you had something to prove every night, right?
Yeah, we had, you know, the band was on fire back then. So
yeah.
We played really, really well together. I don't remember that particular show.
Right.
But but I know one thing is we played fast. We were all in our 20s, except Ronnie. And we were on fire and excited. And let's go, man. Play Stand Up and Shout. And it was really fast. And Viv had to play all the solos fast. So
yeah.
We were kicking ass.
Yeah. I mean, what goes through your mind when you listen to recordings of that period and concerts and maybe demos if you have access to them?
When I hear the records... Yeah, I go, man, that was pretty good, you know,
Pretty
tight and stuff. And some of the live stuff, because I have a couple of live cassette tapes from Dio back in the day, and I'm transferring them over to computer, and I listen to some of the stuff. I go, man, we played so fast. I don't know how Viv kept up with his solos, you know, because I mean, when you play live, it's normal to play it a little bit faster. We don't use a click or any of that stuff live or in the studio. And so we went up and just being excited and the adrenaline, we played fast.
Yeah, crazy. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's such a great era for metal, too. I mean, you had all these other guys like Sabbath was still going on and you guys were coming up. Ozzy had his solo career and Judas Priest, Iron Maiden. You know, for me, that's like my era of metal, my go-to era of metal.
Yeah, well, that was rock was huge.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, those bands you mentioned, you know, we all know each other. And everybody was playing arenas and releasing records. They were selling in the millions. And it was a great time. You know, rock was huge.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun, a lot of music, and a lot of creativity at the same time. So.
Yeah. And I talk a lot with my friends about, you know, the mystique that guys like Dio or even Ozzy had at that time, or Bruce Dickinson, for that matter. I don't see that in music today. I see some talent. I see, you know, a lot of talent, good technical guys. But in terms of the mystique and the aura that these singers had, I don't see that in music today. Do you?
I don't really listen to much new stuff anymore. I'm always busy doing something.
Like, right.
I'm playing with Last in Line. We just finished our album. So I don't sit there and listen to too much stuff, but because my ears are getting blown out anyway. Like, what?
Yeah, fair enough.
40 years of playing drums, so, and more, 50 years. Yeah, I mean, there's nobody that really stands out. And then the later generation, there were guys like Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Who were like, wow, this guy's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And that was one of Ronnie's favorite singers. So.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah. It's just a different time now. Back then, the bands all mentioned started out as a band, and they went on the road and really earned their keep, you know?
Yeah.
Got the experience on the road and developed into, you know, more mystique, and the band got tighter and got more of an image, and that's the way it was here. A lot of bands here are just put together, and then they do things on the internet. They don't really have that much experience on the road and having to go pay a lot of dues like that, you know?
Yeah, it's a different era for music for sure. Yeah, that, you know, you focus on the online stuff, followers and likes. Yeah.
I mean, now you cut and paste songs. I have a studio in my house, so I do a lot of sessions, and you know, I don't cut and paste myself, but you could manipulate it so fine. It's just incredible, you know?
Yeah.
Like I sometimes play to a song. I just finished Joel Holstra's album from White guitar player. He's a good friend. And sometimes I just don't like the fill that I did. And it take 20 minutes to try, well, half an hour, just for, you know, two beats or four beats.
Right
fill. I hear it in my head what it should be.
Yeah.
That's not right. Let me try it. And then eventually, and I like that, but that's the way it is now. You can tune everything.
Yeah. You just mentioned one thing that I was going to ask you later. How much thought goes into a feel, you know, at this stage in your career?
You know, there's thought in it, but I feel it more than I.
I don't
say, like, in the third bar, the third chorus or verse, I'm going to play a kind of a bonzo kind of feel. I feel it with the song. You know, and that's what I've always done with Sabbath and Dio. And I get inspired by the song, you know, the song. I get inspired by the different chords that are in the song. All these things come to me, and then I kind of, it's like painting a painting, you know, try to paint the right colors and stuff, you know. But it's more of an inspirational thing from within.
Got it. Got it. And you mentioned Last in Line, you know, a tribute band that you guys have for Dio. With Andy Freeman now joining Great White, how's that going to fit in the schedule of that band?
Well, he's doing Great White while Vivian's doing the big tour with Motley Crue. So
yeah,
we are scheduled to come back together in September, toward the end of September.
Okay.
We just work out schedules, you know.
Right.
He wants to work, and that was a vehicle to go play live, you know. So that's his choice. Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah. And, I mean, speaking of celebrating Dio's legacy, we have two bands that play Dio songs, Last in Line and Dio Disciples. Were there any thoughts of merging these two at some point, or are these competing entities?
Nope. Dio Disciples is Wendy's project.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the guys in Dio Disciples didn't make the original albums.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. When we started Last in Line, it was Vivian, myself, and Jimmy Bain. We were the guys who wrote this stuff with Ryan. Mm-hmm. So we're the original band. We play it. So I always say they know all the songs. We know all the notes.
That's a good way of putting it.
They're great what they do. That's more of a show. Now, we've turned into more of an original band. We got three albums. Now, this is the third album coming out. Mm-hmm. So we mix the set list up with Dio and all our stuff.
Excellent. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think guys like you, Jimmy Bain and Claude Chanel, are such a signature of the Dio sound. I mean, Last in Line, Sacred Heart, Dream Evil. These are mandatory listening for any half-respected metal fan. On the other hand, there was a complete change in the lineup for Lock Up the Wolves. What motivated that change back then? What was the conversation you guys had with Dio?
Well, by Lock Up the Wolves, we had made changes. We got a different bass player. Jimmy went off somewhere. Mm-hmm. We had a different guitar player. Got Rowan Robinson. And the band was all like very young people. You know, it's like almost like Rowan was like 17 years old or 16. I don't know. He was very young.
Fairly
and
young,
I just felt this is not really what we started.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, so I wasn't really happy with the way the band was going. So I decided to leave. And I actually demoed Lock Up the Wolves with Ronnie. And
okay.
On demos. And then they brought in Simon Wright. And Simon listened to the demos, and he was on the album. I wasn't on the album, but I had some songwriting on the album. So it's just I needed to change, you know?
Fair enough. Yeah. And there's a documentary coming up, Dio Dreamers Never Die, which is scheduled for wide release in the autumn of this year. I'm assuming you're in it as well, or?
Yeah, I'm in it. They came to my house and interviewed me, and then we went into my studio and I played them some cassette tape things that I found. A couple of them. Well, there's one that was a really good jam in the studio.
Oh, cool.
And it was like almost a good half a song and chorus in it and everything, but we never used it. But it sounded good.
Right.
That Holy Diver sound with the tones and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be in it. Looking forward to seeing that. And Wendy said it'll be out in the autumn. I mean, in the fall.
Yeah. I think it premiered in a festival already, but, you know, the wide release is going to be in the fall. So, yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff happening, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of Dio's tenure in Sabbath and your tenure with them, when Mod Rules came out, I think there was still a sense of rejuvenation in the band. And everyone seemed excited with the direction you guys were going. What really transpired there that motivated you and Ronnie to leave? And could you have stayed for what would become Born Again, the next Sabbath album?
Well, Tony, Ronnie, and Geezer weren't seeing eye to eye anymore. I was the new kid on the block. It had nothing to do with me.
Right.
You know, I'm the drummer in the band, and we're making great music together. So it wasn't to do with me. They weren't getting along. So Ronnie decided, I'm going to leave the band. And I'm going to have he had a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
He used the record deal to start my own band and see how it goes. So that's what happened. And he asked me, do you want to join? You know, this is what I'm going to do. And love to have you be part of this. Or, you know, I could have stayed with Sabbath. I love Tony and Geezer. I love playing with them. Obviously, they're legendary. But I thought this would be pretty exciting starting a band with Ronnie. And plus, we live close together, a couple of miles from each other. And we got along really, really well. Tony and Geezer were based in England, you know, so it was a different kind of thing. So I decided, let's give it a shot, you know, and see how it goes with Ron, you know.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't like we were going to fail. You got Ronnie James Dio on.
No. Never. Yeah.
Something's going to give. And luckily, it gave big time. You know, we created this album that almost 40 years later, we're all talking about it and it's selling and there's all this interest in it.
Yeah. Timeless classic for sure. Yeah.
We didn't know that. We were just making an album.
Yeah. Well, if I can pick your brain about Mob Rules, one of the coolest things about it is that Martin Birch produced, and then he went on to be almost exclusively with Iron Maiden. What was it like to work with him?
Martin was a really nice guy. He wasn't an aggressive person or loud or anything like that. He was very, very calm and low-key, and he did his thing. You know, he mic'd the drums a certain way.
Right.
And the amps and different things. And Tony and Geezer and Ronnie communicated with him very well. There was really, it was a nice vibe in the studio. And Martin was fantastic. And then, you know, my drums sound really good on that record. It's kind of a little bit like Bill's drum sound on Heaven and Hell album.
Yeah.
A little bit of a low end on the bass drum and stuff. And so we worked really well together. And we hung out afterward, went for Indian food. Everybody likes Indian food, curries and stuff.
Right.
We went to a lot of those together with Martin. And I think Ronnie knew him from before as well with Rainbow and different things.
Yes. Yeah.
So he was like, you know, one of the family. Really great working with him.
Right. And there's lots of stories about the excesses of Sabbath in the Aussie years. In your perspective, did things change a little bit when Dio joined or not really?
With Sabbath? When Dio joined?
Yeah.
Well, it was a different band with Aussie, you know?
Yeah.
They started out all in the neighborhood in Birmingham, and they were a band. They played so many gigs together and went through so much stuff together, highs and lows. And Ozzy is a different front man than Dio.
Yeah.
Ozzy's a bit more crazy. And Dio is a bit more of a singer. And
yes.
It's kind of, I compare it to Van Halen when they had David Lee Roth. And then all of a sudden they got Sammy Hagar and the music got more mature.
Yeah. That's a good comparison. Yeah.
Yeah, because Sammy could sing, David could sing somewhat, but he's a great front man. Same thing with Ozzy. Ozzy sings the way Ozzy sings. He's not a great, great, great singer, but he's a great front man.
He's the best Ozzy ever.
He does Ozzy fantastic.
Yeah.
Exactly. Dio is more of a singer, real singer.
Yeah.
And more serious. And the music became that too.
Yeah.
And it worked, you know. And then I got in the band and I put the fire when we did Mob Rules, because luckily we went on tour for Heaven and Hell album and I finished the tour. So we played together a lot and I got to know how they play and then they got to know how I play. So when we went to write and record Mob Rules, I kind of added a little bit more energy into the band because
of
the way I play, I'm younger and it's a new blood, you know, fresh blood in the band.
Yeah. And when they started their solo careers, Ozzy and Dio, I mean, I don't know the exact chronology, but at some point you were with Dio and your brother Carmine was playing with Ozzy.
Yeah, that was funny. And we were also touring Europe.
At the same time.
So I used to write in the dressing room, "Hey, Carmine, what's up?" You know, with a question mark. And then he'd come into the dressing room a week later or see what I wrote, and he'd leave me a message when there was somewhere where I was coming in. And it was quite a year of that, you know.
Right.
It was cool.
Right.
That was very cool.
Was there any kind of concern from each camp about, you know, "Hey, don't tell your brother we're doing this or that"? Or
nah, it was nothing like that. You know, he was happy for me to be in Dio, and it was a different thing. Carmine joined Ozzy. Ozzy was already established.
Yeah.
The Dio thing, it was just Ronnie and I, and we started this thing together.
From ground zero, right?
And built it up. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But there was never any competition or anything like that.
Fair enough. When it comes to you and Carmine, you guys, do you still have a podcast, the Hanging and Banging, or?
We had the Hanging and Banging show for over a year, and then we had to hang it up. You know, I don't know exactly why, but it got to be, people got to be busy.
Yeah.
You know, we did it during the pandemic. Everybody was home and had more time. Then people started, like us, we started playing different gigs and I can't make it Thursday and Carmine can't make it and this and that. And this.
Yeah.
So it's time for it to end, you know.
That's all right.
Up online too.
Yeah, it's all right.
Carmine and I do a show.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
We're playing on August 4th in Buffalo, New York, and August 6th at this Cutting Room in New York City. We have a killer band, and we play music from both our histories, and it's a great high-energy rock show. And then we kick each other ass on the drums. Really good.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, growing up, both you guys were drummers. In principle, you could never be in a band together, right? But you made it work now.
We made it work, yeah. And, you know, we play together great. We could play together where it sounds like one person.
Oh, cool.
Then fly off a little bit.
Right.
He's got a different style than me, and I'm different from him. But yet we can come back together.
Yeah.
We did an album called Sinister, and it came out in 2016. Really good record. A lot of people, friends, played on it. And some of the songs, I'm on the left, Carmine's on the right when you listen to it.
Right.
Really well mixed. Some of them I played by myself. Some of them he played by himself.
That's pretty cool.
It's a good record, and we were thinking about maybe doing another one. We'll see.
Okay. And one of the cool things you did recently as well is Resurrection Kings with Craig Goldie, Sean McNabb, and Chaz West, right?
Yeah, two albums in. Record, Resurrection Kings. And then we did a second album. This is for Frontiers Records. It wasn't really a band. It was more of a project because we started out more as a band. Okay, it was Sean McNabb on bass, Craig Goldie guitar, me, Chaz West on vocal. But we all lived in California. And we actually did a few gigs. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, nothing happened with it because it wasn't everybody's priority because everybody was doing things.
Yeah.
And then Frontiers wanted to do another record. And that became more of just a kind of a project thing. You know, good music, but it wasn't they switched players. Sean wasn't on it. Craig was on it. Chaz wasn't on the whole thing.
Okay.
So it became something else.
Yeah. Right.
But it was good.
Yeah. Between you and me, and we can edit this out if you want, but I was supposed to do an interview with Craig a few months ago to promote it, but he canceled because of his health. Is he doing okay now? Can you share anything?
I think he's doing better now. Yeah, he had some health issues. He's had some stress in his life, and I think that led to the some of the health issues. And, Craig's kind of a very deep guy.
Yeah.
Lovely guy, great guy, great guitar player. So from what I hear, he's doing good.
I'm okay.
In touch every once in a while. So he's doing better.
That's good to hear. Yeah. Yeah. And back to Sabbath for a minute. I thought the reunion with Dehumanizer was amazing. And I love that album. But it was a tough time for metal acts from the 70s and 80s with grunge coming up, right?
Right. We came out just as grunge was happening.
Yeah.
And we were like the dinosaurs. Oh, those guys, man. No.
Yeah.
You know, but that album kicks ass, man.
Yeah.
I love that album, too. Yeah. Drums are up front.
They are.
Everything sounds loud. It's fantastic. Yeah. Ronnie sang great, as usual. Band sounded great.
Yeah. So,
but it was at the grunge era, and that kind of put a little bit of a damper on it. You know?
Yeah. Were you the drummer when Rob Halford sang with Sabbath? I think you were, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was an amazing opportunity.
Ronnie didn't want to do the last two shows because it was with Ozzy's retirement thing.
Yeah.
So we were able to contact Rob Halford, and then we had a day off in Phoenix and we rehearsed with Rob. But it's funny because there's a little rehearsal place open to the public. And then one day in comes Iommi, Butler, Rob, me. People are going, "Oh my God,
what's happening?
Yeah. Look who's in the studio. Holy shit." So, we rehearsed with Rob, not that much, you know, and Rob nailed all the songs, you know, and there were songs we haven't played with Ronnie. We had to change the set. So we did more of the old Sabbath stuff, and then we did Heaven and Hell and Neon Nights and a couple of Children of the Sea. But, we had to learn those songs too. So when we did that gig, we were all a little on edge because we haven't played these things live, you know. But Rob did a great, fantastic job. Then there was talk of maybe continuing with Rob.
Oh, really?
Materialize, yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a changing time for him as well. Was he out of Priest at that time or just on the out of Priest?
Well, it was 92, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it was...
He was up for doing something, and then he was up for doing something again in the 90s. Not 90s, 2009, when Ronnie passed.
Right.
And then there was talk of maybe doing another album with Rob Halford as Heaven and Hell. You know?
Okay. Yeah. I need to ask you about that. Is there any material left from Heaven and Hell? Or
no.
No?
No, with Sabbath, Dio... Heaven and Hell, we never had extra songs.
Okay.
What was required on the album, we needed 9 songs. That's what we did. We weren't a band to go in there and write 15 songs and not extra. It just wasn't that kind of band.
Okay. Well, and after the Dehumanizer or Dehumanizer, Dio came back with
Dehumanizer.
Dehumanizer. Okay. Yeah. Well, Dio came back with Strange Highways, probably his heaviest album. Do you think The Heaviness Then was a consequence of grunge or the direction of The Humanizer? Or
No, it was down to we got a different guitar player, Tracy G.
Okay.
Tracy and I played in a band called World War III prior to this. And World War III was a pretty heavy band. Mandy Lyon on vocals, who was one of the first people to scream, you know, all that stuff. And it was a very heavy band. Jimmy Bain was on bass. Mm-hmm. And then when we needed a guitar player, I was back with Ronnie. I said, well, Tracy G is a great guy, a great player. So he got in the band. So he's a very dark player. So
yeah.
You could hear Strange Highways. The chords are a little more evil. And,
they are.
Darker, yeah. You know, the whole album's darker, you know. And then we had a producer come in, Mike. Who was it? Mike somebody. I can't remember. And he produced the record. And it was a different type of Dio record. It was big and a lot of effect on the drums. You know, I played more steady, and it was a different era for Dio.
Yeah.
So it was a heavy album, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really a commercial album at all. There wasn't anything to pop it in the charts or something.
Yeah. I think times were changing, too, for metal, even more so at that time. But yeah. I still think it's great. I just listened to it before our interview. It's one of my favorite Dio albums, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah?
But yeah.
It's cool. Yeah. It had a cool cover, too. Like,
it does, yeah. Yeah, it's almost like a sequel to The Humanizer, because it has the computer god type of thing, a theme in the cover. So
More on the heavy side.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And Heaven and Hell, I'm glad that Dio ended his career with such a great album. It was such a momentous experience to have you guys reunited again in that lineup. Tell me about that time.
Well, Heaven and Hell started with Rhino, I think it was, wanted to release a Dio Years album with Sabbath, Dio Years. And then they thought it was a great idea if we can get a couple of new songs from the band, you know?
Yeah.
So they agreed to that, and they started working on it with Bill Ward, you know? And they had three songs written, but it was taking too long. It was taking forever to finish the songs. So eventually they said, well, we got to get Vinny. You know, Bill, it's just not working out, you know, with Bill. So they called me. I flew to England and then listened to the songs, hung out, and started working on songs the next day. And we were, like, done. In, you know, 4 or 5 days. And then that was kind of the reunion, because we haven't seen each other in a while. And then everybody decided, hey, why don't we do some touring? So we did a tour,
right.
And that was fun. And then everybody decided, let's do an album. So The Devil You Know is the album that came out of that. The only thing with The Devil You Know, it wasn't made like other albums we did. Mob Rules and The Humanizer, we played in a room together.
Okay.
We jammed the licks. We jammed everything. We played it. This album was songs already demoed by Tony, and Geezer played on it. It was a drum machine.
Okay.
And then Ronnie had it in his studio. He sang some stuff. So there wasn't that natural, organic vibe to it. It was great, but different kind of album.
You know? Fair enough.
Yeah, you know, when you want to hang with a drum machine, you want to go bang. Hang on, let me program that. Not me,
right?
Engineer, yeah. I gotta go program the hang.
Right.
When you're at the band, you go, let's try a hang. Boom. You know, it's
right.
So
different feel for sure.
It's a different thing. Yeah.
So yeah.
That album. Yeah.
And was there any discussion of you doing the 13 album, the Black Sabbath album, when Bill couldn't do it?
Nah, because. Everything was changed, you know.
Okay.
Different people involved. They got Rick Rubin involved, and I don't know Rick. Had I known him really well, he might have suggested, let's go use Vinny. And different people around Tony and Geezer, and things were decided that maybe they said, well, we don't want the old band again. Let's get new blood in and whatever. Yeah.
Fair enough.
I wasn't involved in that.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, you mentioned 13, Joe Hoekstra's album.
Yeah.
I think you played on both, right? Are there any plans to tour and record again with Joel?
You know what? If it comes time, he's got time and he's going to go out on his own. Yeah, I mean, if I got time and I'm off, I would love to play with him. It'd be great.
Excellent.
It's kind of like we did a cruise. We did a couple of shows on the boat.
Yeah.
When the album came out, that was years ago, and it was great. It sounded fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he's busy with Whitesnake, and you're doing Last in Line and
Whitesnake
other stuff.
Canceled their tour.
I know. Yeah, maybe there's a shot in there. We don't know.
Yeah, it's too soon. I think Joel wants to finish his record, and I got some dates coming up with my brother. It's not the right time right now.
Yeah. So. Fair enough. Fair enough. But I'll keep my fingers crossed anyway.
Yeah. Something can happen.
Yeah. Well, Vinny, thank you so much. Thank you for so many great albums. They are part of my youth growing up.
Where are you at?
I'm in Toronto right now. I'm from Brazil originally.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I love Brazil. Love it.
Yeah, it's a great country to visit. Not so much to live right now, but.
Yeah, I'm supposed to do some shows down there in October, but I think we're going to move them to next year. Things are crazy still.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you know, but the crowds in there are wild. So.
Oh, I know. They are diehard. They're passionate, especially about Dio and Sabbath.
Yeah. I saw the Dehumanizer tour in 92 in there. I was 21 years old or younger than that, I think. Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah, I love Brazil. I love playing and meeting the people and hanging out. I always have a great time down there. So.
Yeah. Thank you so much, man, for the interview. All the best and have a great summer.
Thank you very much. Take care, Rodrigo. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Thank all you guys for listening, too.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye. Bye. Bye.